let me go. Pastor, what is this drink that you speak of? This drink is Jesus. This drink is Jesus. And I want everybody on their feet right now. I want everybody on their feet right now. And all I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray for you all. I'm going to pray that God will fill you up. But is there anybody in this place? I'm not going to make you walk down. I'm not going to do it. Is there anybody in this place that just needs to be refilled today? Anybody in this place that needs to be refilled today? And all this is good and gravy and all this is amazing and we're getting refilled. But what about the person who doesn't know him? Because all of this is for naught if you don't have him. There could be somebody in this place today that maybe you don't know about this wine that we speak of. Yeah, maybe you don't know about this Jesus that we speak of. Maybe you've never encountered him today. Can I see your hand if that's you? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your life, if you've never, ever accepted this, if this is something that you're saying, Pastor, what you're preaching is what I need. If I spoke to you today and you need Jesus today, can I see your hands in this place? Can I see your hand? I see you. I see you. I see you. Can I see your hand? Lift them up. Lift them up high. Don't be afraid. Don't be nervous. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, if you have never taken a sip of this wine that we are talking about, can I see your hand today? Can I see your hand? I see you. And I want you to know that God loves you and that God died for you and that he's coming back to get you. Amen. So can we do this? Can we all say this prayer together? Can you repeat after me and say, Jesus Christ. Even if you've been saved 30 years and this is your first time, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. Save me right now. I'm a sinner, but I want to be right. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose for me. And I believe that you're coming again. Empty me of myself. Fill me up with your Holy Ghost. Help me to walk the right way. And never let me go in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, family, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. And I want to let you know that God loves you, that there's nothing the enemy could ever do to take you out of the hands of God. And that you are forever sealed and a part of this kingdom. Amen.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in his word that in 2 Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season word.
With us, we thank God for you on this blessed third Sunday morning that God has said yes to you and I, living and then breathing his air. To God be the glory for the amazing things he has done. And we testify he's done great and mighty things. Therefore, we bless his holy name. To God be the glory. Are you glad to be here today? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We thank God for this day. Thank God for our music ministry blessing us. Let's give God praise for them. Amen. God bless you. There's something going on in here. I don't know what it is. There's something. I can't really put my finger on it, but I don't know, but there's something going on. God bless you anyhow. We want to share a word with you. And get out your hair. There's a word from the Lord I want to share from the book of Acts, chapter number 9. I'm telling you, people are amazing. Because I'm telling you, I still get perplexed oftentimes, and maybe the message will help answer this question, how you can go through all you go through.
That's right.
Wake up, get dressed, come to the house of God on purpose, and act like he ain't gonna take care of nothing. That baffles me, to come to God's house and look like God can't take care of whatever it is. I don't know. One of these days we'll figure that out. I don't know. Who goes to that kind of trouble? All you've been through all week long. All you faced. And God spared you. And he gave you one more Sunday to bless his name. And I'm going to look like this the whole time. That baffles me about our people. Baffle. Acts chapter 9. I want to begin reading verse number 1. You there? The word of God reads thusly. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Turn down. To verse number 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here ye have authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Say amen for the word of God. Amen. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall stand forever. For a few moments today, I want to tag this text and wrestle with you, since I got to wrestle today, and talk about this passage from the thought, the transformative power of God. The transformative power of God, the transformative power of God. And for those who are struggling with the big word your pastor used, it says transformative. It's really saying to you, God's got the power. Amen. To change it all.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, he does. He's got the power. And I know I'm in the wrong house. Because when I say that God's got the power to change it all, somebody should have got excited right there. The transformative power of God. You got to get to a point today, beloved, to understand something, and we all are trying to get there, to understand one key principle. Only God, are y'all listening? Only God can change people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of mentioned earlier our approach today, our disposition today. We approached how we came to the house of God. And it matters not how many songs the choir sings. It matters not how much intercessory prayer we have. It matters not how hard the preacher preaches. Only God is going to change y'all. You know, one of the tragedies, if you look at it in this way, of people, especially 21st century church, is that many of us don't want change. And because we don't want change, we don't want to change. I'm going to say it again. Because a good percentage of us think we're all right as we are. Therefore, when change is available, change is necessary, we do as Saul does and kick against the pricks. I need you to understand something today, that people who won't change for the better are not fighting you. Ultimately, they're fighting God. You think you're proving a point to people, but you're not showing people anything. You're showing God how you feel. But I got good news today, that when God has a purpose for your life and God has a plan for some things, you can't even resist the change. I come today with some simple good news, but it's going to be bad news for three or four of you. God go get you. One way or another, if he's got a plan for your life, you can't sin enough. You can't run. You can't hide. If God go get you, he's going to get you. You think that it doesn't matter because you're not a reverend or a doctor, or you think it's because you don't have a handle in front of your name, but if God got a plan for your life, he go get you. He'll either get you going or get you coming. Because you can't keep hanging around God's house, hanging around God's word, hanging around God's people, and some don't change in you. And I bear record today that I am a living witness of the transformative power of God. I don't mind being evidence today to say that God has changed me. God has worked in me. God has done some amazing things for me, with me, and inside me. And I believe that God has even more in store for me if I just stay with him. That God can change from pimps to make them preachers. God can take users and make them ushers. God can make drunkards into deacons. God can take nothing and make something. God can take anything and make something out of it. I bear record today of the transformative power of God. Some of y'all don't want people to know by your church self, but there was a day that you were not always in church on a Sunday morning. There were some days you didn't always pray like you ought to pray. There were some days that you didn't want to have anything to do with God, but you stand here today, sit here today, day as a witness of the life-changing power of God. And I believe if we would just stop being so arrogant and stop being so pompous and just say, I am evidence that if God can save me, God can save anybody. But I once was lost, but guess what? Now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I'm seeing. Are there any others today in Zion who can admit I'm not where I ought to be, but because of the transformative power of God, I'm not where I used to be? I can thank God for some change. I can thank God for some growth. I can thank God for some elevation. Thank God today that he's changing me. Hallelujah. That's all I came to tell you. That God can even take the worst of us, and he can change some things. And such is the case in our text on today. That God's going to take this man who thinks he's doing one thing, change his life, and God used the very man who was fighting him to be faithful for him. Y'all missed your shout. The Bible teaches us that we were once enemies of God, but when Christ saved us, we now became friends of God. You know, you were born messed up. You were not born good. You were not born a good little boy, a good little girl. But God saved you. God touched you. God brought you out. And now you can stand and be a witness that God will fight your battle. God will see you through. God will open doors. God will heal. God will deliver. God will set you free if you just stay with him. And this may not be an exciting message for you, but it is for me today to know that I'm not in control of everybody, but I got a God who sits high and looks low. And when God get enough of some of this stuff, God go shut some stuff down. And maybe some stuff got to end so that some things can begin. See, keep on. See, you don't get to just operate a certain way in the Lord's name and think the Lord go keep going on with mess. God's not going to ordain foolishness. God's not going to ordain and anoint mess and confusion. Keep on playing with stuff in God's name. You either go change or, baby, you go get gone, because God don't play about his, and God don't play about his business, and God don't play about his people. Keep on digging ditches. Keep on cutting throat. Keep on being evil. I better leave that alone. Keep on playing around. God go change some stuff. Yes, he will. And this brother Saul today, introduced to us first in Acts chapter 7. Because Saul is an interesting young, and he's introduced to us in chapter 7 of Acts when the people were getting ready to stone Stephen. This first biblical deacon, Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But some kind of way, Saul, you got to be careful about the stuff you've been exposed to. I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but I want to give you this. Be careful about what people have been exposed to, because it has a lot to do with how they think. Has a lot to do with how they act based on what they're exposed to. And Saul sat by and watched and held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. In other words, he sat back and participated and helped folks kill the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, here he is, a Pharisee. Here he is, who's trying to hold on to church. I mean, hold on to God, trying to hold on to tradition, but this new group of people called the Way. Can the church say the Way? Anytime in the book of Acts you see that word, the Way, it means the people who are following Christ. Now, it's a difference between people who are in church and people who are in Christ. Because when you're in Christ, you're going to be in Christ at Brookshire's. You'll be in Christ at Walmart. You'll be in Christ at everywhere you go. But if you're only in church, you're morphing to something and you just play the game. But there's a people in the book of Acts who are following the Way. They are following the Spirit of God. They are following Christ. And the people who are in the Way are threatening people who are in the Way. I got to come back. I got to do that again. It's people who are following the Way, and they are threatening folks who are in the Way. Because the Jews thought they had killed Jesus. They thought they finally got rid of this man Jesus, who was upsetting our way of doing things. They thought they finally got rid of any mention of his name, but there's some mess going on in Jerusalem, and some of these people start still talking about Jesus. They done said he done not only died, but on that third day he got up again. And they say he got up again, and he done gave his Holy Ghost to all these people, and we're hearing that thousands of people are getting saved because of the mention of this man named Jesus. Every time we think we shut him down, here comes somebody talking about Jesus. Every time we think we killed him, here comes somebody talking about Jesus. And these people are messing up our way, our tradition, how we want to do things. And so here this brother Stephen comes up preaching. Now, if I had time, I really would deal with that even deacons ought to be able to preach. That'd be a different lesson down the road. That you ain't got to be a preacher to preach, because anybody who's been touched by God ought to be able to testify that if he can save me, he can save you. And they got so mad at Stephen because he would not shut up even under pressure. And they stoned Stephen to death. But this young man named Saul sat there holding the coats and witnessed a killing of a man of God. A seed was sown in Saul that even if you got to kill him to hold on to our way, now I thought you were God's people. And if you God's people, how can you condone killing? You say you love God, how can you even be okay with hurting somebody else?
But you'd be amazed what people will do to hold on to their way. You'd be amazed the lengths people will go through to hold on to their tradition, even if you got to be killed, to hold on to what they want. And they stoned Stephen, but here's the problem. They can't stop the movement. I'm going to try it again. You can hurt one of them, but you can't stop the movement. I'm trying to help somebody. You can hurt the person, but you can't stop the power. Saul, Bible says that the people of God, even the apostles, have been scattered now. Because of the pressure in Jerusalem for preaching Jesus, they've been scattered. They've been under pressure, and they're running. But as they're running, they're still preaching Jesus. They're still getting folks saved. They're still doing just what the Lord told them to do, that you will be witness to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. The very thing the Lord said his people go do, they're doing. Even if the enemy think they're winning, God is still winning because his people know how to produce under pressure. I wish that should have been somebody's preaching point right there. Has anybody learned how to produce under pressure? That they thought they had you down, but you really were on your knees, which is the best posture to be in anyway. Has anybody ever thought they were digging a ditch for you, but they messed around and tripped and fell in their own ditch they dug? Because God knows how to help you produce under pressure. Come here, come on, come be honest. Has anybody learned that if I had never had a problem, I never know God could solve them? If I never had sickness, I wouldn't know God was a healer. If I never been broke, I never know God could provide. Somebody knows how to produce under pressure. And that's all God's people keep doing. Producing under pressure. I'm proud of y'all today, praise team and ministers and leadership. I'm proud of y'all because today is one of those pressurized days. And I'm proud of y'all. Y'all ain't trying to pump nobody up. Y'all say, if y'all don't want to praise him, that's y'all business. But some of y'all made up your mind, I will still bless the Lord at all times. Y'all can roll your eyes. You can have your mouth stuck out. But God gave me another day, and I'm going to bless the Lord. You want to be lazy? That's your business. You want to be sorry? That's your business. But as for me and my house, yeah. Yeah. Chapter 8 brings us that to tell us that Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen. Not only did he watch it, he was all right with it. He was trained to fight Jesus but work for God. Ain't that pitiful? Ain't that pitiful? He's been reared in BTU. Brought up in Bible study. He's been in vacation Bible school. He's drank that little juice in the styrofoam cup, and he's had those little butter thin crackers and those little cookies that you can put on your finger. He has grown up in church. He has sat at Gamaliel's feet and learned the law, but can't stand the Lord. And do you know, beloved, we got some people even today in 2025 who love everything about church but the Jesus of the church. You love the institution, but you can't stand the individuals. There are some of y'all who love the building, but don't love the people. You love the organization, but you can't stand the organism. That's why you can come and you like to work by yourself. That's why you can come and do your own thing and look crazy, because you don't realize that the Lord saved more than you. And when God starts saving folk and bringing folk in, you get mad. But there's still a group of people who are following the way. That's what they call this group of Christians. They're called the way. And so Paul now becomes, he done got big now, and now he's got the opportunity to go and represent this thing. He goes and gets consent. He's so bold now that he's not only a tent maker, but he's a troublemaker. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes and gets folk who following Jesus, and he himself go arrest them. Yeah. He has the authority to go out and shut down anybody, even mention Jesus, anybody in this way, he go and get them. Yeah, He write them a ticket, he lock them up, and bring them back to Jerusalem so he can be under the chief priest and they can be persecuted. He is a fighter of the church. Now explain to me, from an oxymoronic standpoint, how you gonna be in some and fight it at the same time? See how quiet it got? How you a member but fight membership? How you a part of something that you can't stand? Ain't nobody right. Ain't nobody no good. Everybody evil. Everybody a hypocrite. Everybody ugly. But you keep coming. Make it. My mic still on? You the only one got sense. And you have convinced yourself that you keeping it together. I got to go on up there because if I don't go. If I don't turn that light on, they'll sit there in the dark. And you believe that somebody has, you've been given some authority by the small kings to go in and write tickets and citations to people who don't do things your way. Anybody who do something a little different, uh-uh. We don't do that here. You got to come through me before you praise. Got to come through me before you get set free. Uh-uh. Don't do that here. We don't speak in tongues here. We don't worship like that here. Saul is so passionate now, he's willing to even kill to defend the tradition. And though some of us don't kill physically, if looks could kill, somebody would be speaking over me right now. For as much as it's pleased the Almighty God to remove from the earth this our pastor, we commit him to the ground, earth to earth, ash to ashes, dust to dust. Because if looks and dispositions and how we treat one another was any evidence of how we feel, we wouldn't be here today. Because I don't like saying this too much, but I got to say it today. Can't nobody hurt you like your own. Especially when you don't do things their way. You stop playing the game. Oh, Lord. So Saul, beloved, has gone. Now he's hearing about this movement of the way. He's hearing about, oh, we got some more trouble down in Damascus. I'm going down there too. He got it on his mind. He's made a plan. I'm going to Damascus, and I'm going to shut that down. And he went and secured papers. He went secured authority to go to Damascus and shut down this movement called church. And he got some hoo-riders. I'm going to say this to you. Beloved, just because one is bold enough to say it don't mean he the only one that don't believe. It's some other folks who believe that same stupid stuff. They just ain't courageous enough to stand. But they all got to support. It's a whole group of them. They go meet at Sonic, Embers, or they have a Zoom call, how we go fight this stuff today. And he and Saul and all his people, they go toward Damascus. And it picks up now, and all I gave you really was point number one, in that how God, the transformative power of God, begins with a problematic mindset. It begins with somebody with a jacked up mind. Now, lest you look at Saul crazy, I actually look in the mirror. And be honest with yourself and say that sometimes the problem ain't them. Come on back with me. That the truth be told, when you boil this thing on down, normally you see that you're the problem.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Uh-oh.
And that's why change can't happen with us, because you don't want to deal with the reality of who you really are. That you're fighting leadership. You're fighting the move of God based on how you're thinking. Can I prove it to you? I don't think that's the thing we ought to do. I don't think that's the way we ought to go. My thing is, that's in your head. And just because it's in your head don't make it real. Saul has been trained by other lost people. See, somebody wrong taught wrong and gave birth to wrong. So much so that if your mind ain't transformed or renewed, wrong would think it's right. That's how come we got all this religious, these religious zealots all over the place who think they're right. The September 11th attacks, these were people who were attacking America for religious beliefs, thinking that Allah is going to be happy behind killing America. In their mind, they're right. So much so they're willing to kill themselves to be right. And I'm talking to people today who go kill yourself. Trying to be right. Mm-hmm. Now, Paul told us in Romans chapter 12, the same Paul who is now Saul, tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But then verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how you going to have a new life with an old mindset? Have y'all noticed that you can even change locality, but haven't changed mentality? And when you don't change mentality, it don't matter what your locality is. What am I saying? If you a fool here, and you move, guess what you're going to be when you go over there? Just as foolish. I'm going for a better opportunity. Not if you don't change your mind. I guess I got to fight through this today. You don't want your mind to change, but you want your situations to change. Y'all keep wanting God to do stuff, but you don't want to do nothing. Lord, give me money, but you don't want to be a good steward of it. And so if he give you more money and your mind messed up, guess what, go do that money. Something stupid with it. That's right. Lord, heal me. Well, if he do heal you, are you going to come back to the God who healed you? Or are you going to go right back and get in that and participate in behavior that got you sick in the first place? Amen. We keep asking God to change stuff, but we never ask God to change me. Oh, Lord. Most of us in this room came, I discerned in my spirit, you came looking for a change. But you did not consider that the change is going to be within you. How can I keep being me and have all God wants me to have? Saul is headed to Damascus with a messed up mind, thinking he's representing God. He thinks God has allowed him to go kill and arrest and persecute other believers. Some of us, I gotta leave this alone. Some of us harm each other and have convinced yourself and justified the fact that you're right for doing so. You done made yourself right. I got to make you uncomfortable for a minute. You know you being ugly. You know your attitude ain't right. But you done sat there and talked to yourself and said, well, I'm right. And nobody believes it but you. You can do wrong so long that wrong can look right. Can I tell you what you'll start doing? But what about you? What about them? That still ain't got nothing to do with you. Because, see, when you got an answer to the Lord, you can't bring me. Can't bring your mama. Can't bring your daddy. You got to answer to the Lord for yourself. And the Lord don't want to hear nothing about them. Because guess what? Them in line, too. Waiting on their turn. It's a problematic mindset he's got. Because he's passionate about this. Now, we know from a history standpoint, he's wrong. But he thinks that he's right. And he's quickly going down to handle some business. Now, here's what I like about this. I'm going to give you this last little part of this point. I'm going to move on. Y'all know what I like about this? Even when Jesus stops him, even on the way, even in chapter 7, 8, and 9, he saw. Ladies and gentlemen, can I make an announcement to you? You'll never have a Paul reality until you have a Saul revival. What am I saying to you? Until you deal with that Saul part of you, you want everybody, you just want to go straight to Paul. But what happens when you don't deal with your Saul? And when you're supposed to be Paul, Saul want to creep up and cuss him out. Get them back. Match their energy. That's Saul stuff. Because Jesus, if you say you're going to be in the way, Jesus says, bless them. Y'all don't like this at all. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Now, how many of us go tell the truth today and say, I ain't trying to do that? And so you try to bring a Saul to a Paul. And here we are at church today expecting Paul treatment. Because y'all say y'all love God so much. You say you look the part. You're looking like Paul. But the truth of it is, you still got a Saul mindset. Still got a Saul mouth. And I thank God today that God will stop you before you make a bigger mess. So, we move now from a problematic mindset to a pivotal moment. Bible says he got close to Damascus. Somebody say close.
Close.
Not there yet, but close. And suddenly, can the church say suddenly?
Suddenly.
Now, here's what I like about suddenly. You can't set an alarm for suddenly. Yeah. You can't plan a suddenly. I'm going to try this one more time. When suddenly come, you ain't in control of it. And we're in a world that you got to have everything planned, even God's will. By the 30th, God will be done showed up. How you going to tell God when to show up and do something? He says, suddenly, a light shine from above, a light from heaven shine, so bright that it blinded Saul and knocked him off his feet. I'm going to try it again. He big and bad, ain't he? I'm going to go shut this mess down. And a light, a bright light, shined from heaven and blinded him. Because if you can't see anymore, you don't know where you're going anymore. May I suggest, though, he was already blind. Not by where he was going, but the way he was going, showed us that he was blind already. And I pray that God will give us a sensitivity today to understand that some people ain't just mean, they blind. Because if they really could see it the way God sees it, they wouldn't say some stuff, wouldn't do some stuff, wouldn't try some stuff. So, a light shines from heaven and knocks him on his knees. This Saul guy. You big and bad. You've been given authority from kings to go do this, but you didn't factor in the King of Kings. I got to share one more thing with you, since y'all make me work real hard for this one. There are some things in this walk with God, some things in your life you can't control.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
You think, Saul, because the king let you go, there ain't nothing else going to happen. You didn't factor in that God had another plan for this little trip you on. And he knocks him down with his light. And he says to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Are y'all listening to me? Don't your Bible say the same thing? He says, Saul. Anytime Jesus emphasize, say a word twice, it's emphasis. Anytime he say, verily, verily, or Simon, Simon. Saul, Saul. In other words, you can't blame somebody else. I'm talking to you. Why are you persecuting me? Why are you trying to hurt me? And Saul says, who are you, Lord? Wait a minute, wait a minute. Lord? Why am I the Lord now? You know why he the Lord now? Because something got to stop you. And some of y'all know ain't nothing going to stop you but the Lord. I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Y'all so crazy right now. It's all right. The Lord gonna stop this. And when he do it, you gonna know it ain't nobody. Talk to me, somebody. If COVID ain't stopped you, if sickness ain't stopped you, if job loss ain't stopped you, if grief ain't stopped you, keep on. The Lord. And when he do it, it's gonna be nobody. So, why are you? Wait a minute, y'all. I got a question. Because Saul wasn't by himself. But ain't it funny that when you headed for something stupid, the Lord don't talk to them? The ones who said they're going to be with you, the ones who say they got your back, they still got your back. But what happened when the Lord talking to you and ain't talking to them? The Bible says that they heard a voice, but they didn't see the light. Trying again. They don't see the light, but they hear a voice, and they don't even understand the voice because God ain't got the same purpose for them. You got to be able to handle God separating you. Y'all missed it. He didn't say people, people. He said, Saul, Saul. Y'all looking at me crazy. Don't your Bible just say the same thing? He didn't say, people, people. Saul, Saul, why are you? So you got to handle something. That if God got a plan for you, you got some responsibility. You don't get to have this assignment from God and then not have accountability. Stop using these excuses. I'm young. Don't matter. He done called you. Well, I'm all washed up. No, you ain't washed up. He done called you. And you use all these this criteria to try to disqualify what God said, but he called you by name, then it's all. And I like the fact that the Lord called him Saul, planning him to be Paul. He didn't call him who he's going to be. He called him who he's acting like. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, who you persecute. And the light was so bright, it blinded him. He's on his knees, he's blind. It's a pivotal moment when the Lord stops you. Some of y'all, here's what I'm prophesying to your life. It's not going to be by what God blesses you with. Your pivotal moment is not going to be designated by a breakthrough and big money and big stuff. It's going to be when God shuts you down. I'm going to tell you how you know God is calling you for greater. Y'all ready? Are y'all listening? Y'all sure you're listening? Because y'all done tuned me out for the last few minutes. Are y'all sure y'all want to know how you going to know when the Lord is bringing you a real pivotal moment? Are y'all sure? Because I'm going to tell you if you want to know. If you don't want to know, I'll tell somebody else who want to know. You listening? He won't let you have your way. It's when what you used to could do is what you know works for you. The officials in football got a way of calling an incomplete pass. Now y'all can take that and do what you want to do with it. It's what others get away with. You can't seem to. God is ministering. He's ministering. And you mad right now at your life because you can't seem to get away with nothing. And they can just go around and do anything they want to do. And you asking yourself, why I got to apologize? They ain't got to apologize. Why I got to tighten up? They not tightening up. But he done calls you by name. And he says, for you, he's telling you something he ain't told them. Oh, Lord. And the best way you know you're called is not by what's starting in your life, it's by what's stopping in your life. So I'm going to know if you're getting serious. Lord, help me. Hold your boy. We're going to know you're getting serious about your walk with God when you stop some stuff.
Amen, brother.
Now, it's hollering, falling out, they ain't nothing. It's when you stop some stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And here's what I like about it. Y'all want some help? Anybody don't mind being, we all family. Anybody that mind being honest, you need help stopping? That's why he stopped you, because you ain't going to stop yourself.
Amen.
Come here. That's why the light had to be bright. That's why I had to blind you so you couldn't see how to get there. You had to stop in your tracks and trust God to take you the rest of the way, because if you still got good eyes, you're going to make bad decisions. Can anybody thank God today for the stuff he stopped? Because if you just kept on going like he was going, you was headed to destruction. You was headed to some confusion. You was headed to prison. You was headed to the clinic. You was headed to the hospital. But God stopped some stuff. You didn't get your way, but he had his way. And here you are as a testimony. God, I thank you that you stopped some stuff. I got to give a word to you younger people. You ain't miss out on nothing.
Amen.
You ain't miss out on nothing. Well, I'm speaking a pivotal moment in your life. And your pivotal moment is not going to be your happiest moment. It's going to be the moment you stop getting your way. It's going to be the time when you stop getting spoiled. And things got to go the way you say go. It's hard for you to keep kicking against the pricks. You keep coming for me. And if I don't stop you, now, here's everybody's point. You got the love of God who love you beyond your hate for him. Paul, it's amazing to me how Saul is at his most unlovable point. And love shows up and transforms the unlovable. I wish I had somebody here. Have you ever had some unlovable season where you were not living like a child of God, but God loved you so much that while you were yet a sinner, he still had Christ die for you, and he still touched you? Has anybody ever lived with something and you know you don't deserve it because God loved you beyond your own crazy self? Can anybody testify that God has been better to you and you've been better to him, that God will bless you so much it'll make you shame for how you treat him, shame for how you love him, shame for how you act? It's a pivotal moment. He sobers you. He blinds you What looks like a temporary affliction is really preparation. That's my third and final point of the transformative power of God, is when it's preparation for ministry. Here it is. He said, now them same brothers who were with him, they see him, they standing there like, but what was wrong with Saul? He's looking at something. Now we hear it, but we don't see it. Now y'all missed it. Paul lost his eyes. Saul lost his eyes, but he got good ears. They got eyes and ears and can't see or hear. Once again, stop listening to people who ain't hearing God, so they can't see God. He says now, keep going to Damascus. But here's what I like about this transformative power, because you walk in by yourself, but to keep going, you got to have some help. The Bible says that they led him. Y'all missed it. Bible says they led him into Damascus. I'm going to try it one more time. They led him. Why? Because he's still blind. And you got to handle moments when you blinded but still blessed. I don't know what God is doing. I got to trust him to lead me. For once in my life, I ain't got the answers. I'm just trusting God. For once in my life, I know I don't know where I am, but I know I'm trusting God. Is there anybody in Zion who's had some seasons in their life? I don't know what God is doing. I don't know where I am, but what I do know is I'm trusting God. And you got to learn how to walk blind before you get your sight back. I've got to trust in God. And somebody's got to be able to help you. Here's your shout. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for this? Y'all ain't gonna shout. Y'all so mad right now. And what time? Saints don't play till 3. I don't know what y'all tripping off of. Now, I understood last week it was a 12 o'clock game. I already checked it. They don't play till 3. And y'all still tripping. See, I'm a good pastor. I have to learn y'all. Cowboys play what time? 3? They play at 3 too. We good.
But that's good. That's good.
Here it is. Y'all ready? Are y'all listening to me? I'm about done. He was headed to Damascus and got to Damascus. His plan was to go to Damascus. God's plan was he's going to Damascus. He had a plan to go to Damascus. And by the end of the text, he got to Damascus. God did not change his destination. God changed his direction. Can anybody thank God that you still got to where you needed to go, but you were different by the time you got there? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water he lifted me. Now safe am I. I still went to work tomorrow, but I went better. I got to go home eventually, but I'm going to go to home better. I got to go to enemy territory next week, but I'm going to go better because something touched me on my way. Yeah. God, Bible says, Saul stayed in Damascus, blind. 3 days, blind, while God was preparing him for ministry. And if you're blind, you can't see. Did y'all know that? I don't think y'all knew that. When you blind, that means I'm hoping the people today ain't them. Did y'all know that when you blind, you can't see? And it don't do too good in a new city, and you can't see. So you ain't got no choice but to be still. Come here. Some of y'all want to make some moves. Some of y'all want to do something. Some of y'all just feel like you got to say something. God's word to somebody, get somewhere and be still. Because you don't know where you're going. Because it took God to bring you to this point. It's going to take God to carry you beyond this point. Sit there and be still. Now, if you read the rest of this, he had a man named Ananias, a disciple named Ananias, working on Ananias in Damascus before Saul got to Damascus. Woo. You getting ready to go to Damascus and try to tear up Damascus. But if I let you go and tear up Damascus, you can't get the blessing in Damascus. So I'm going to stop you before you get down there and tear some up. And the very thing you want to go tear up is going to be tied to your deliverance and tied to your healing. So I'm going to stop you from going down there because it's going to be in your best benefit to leave that alone. I've got something prepared for you in Damascus that's going to be beneficial to you. Be mindful, beloved. Be mindful about hurting your own help. Everything shut down again. Be mindful that God's got some people sent to help you. But with your Saul mindset, you got your mind to hurt them. Now, if Ananias is a disciple and he's in the way, Saul going down there to persecute people who are disciples. In other words, if he catch Ananias and ain't been changed, the very one Ananias who's supposed to help Saul won't help him unless he changed some stuff. Come here. God's got some people assigned to for you to help you, but if you don't change your mind in some areas, I don't know that God holds you, you're going to hurt your own help and in turn hurt yourself. Stop saying you ain't got nobody and you keep pushing people away. You're going to stay lonely if you keep pushing people away. Well, light bulbs. That's all I got today is my light bulbs. That's all I got. And then it got a little dim on me. Ananias was skeptical because the Lord told him, I got a man coming. His name's Saul. And I want you to touch him, pray for him, stay with him. But he says, wait a minute, Lord, I done heard. So Ananias got a good eyes, but his ears been damaged. So while God working on Saul, he also working on Ananias, so Ananias won't be such a hypocrite and won't be a discriminatory person. Because some of y'all, God's purpose in your life is helping those who you heard about. And we're filled with people who we heard about but don't know. Maybe I'll try that next time I preach. When you hear about them and you got your mind made up about them and not considering that God know them and he know you.
Amen.
He says, Lord, I heard about him, and he fights people like me. He says, I understand all that has been said. He said, but I got a plan for him. He's going to go talk to Gentiles and kings and help save the world. Now, what happens if Ananias say, I ain't going to do that because he ain't one of us? You got to be able to welcome somebody who's been trying to kick you out. Let's go. Let's go home. B.B. King, let's go home. Because I testify that the thrill offer Jesus to you. I ain't gonna fight you. The transformative power of God. That God changes you. And God's got a plan. He's gonna change some stuff in your life. Got to get past your past. Get past your sin. Get past your skepticism, that God will even change you on the path and lead you to promise. Today, if you need the Lord to minister to you and who you've been, you want to have a Paul revival, but you got to deal with your Saul reality. Today's your day to let the Lord deal with you, Saul. Because maybe the problem is me. And I want to be better for you. So, Lord, help me with me. Oh, you hear my brother or you hear my sister? Come to Christ today.